Jagger.
I was reading some Nisargadatta, and he mentions that just the be with the I am feeling. And so my mind is always trying to pick out something that it can know as real. So I was wondering. I was wondering when I'm in that just the I am feeling, it's kind of like there's not really much of an object there. But I think you mentioned last week about even the sense of I am is something you're aware of, so even that is not you.
Well, again, this is going to be found out. Like the more you remain with your selfless self, this will be known. But for right now, we talked about this sense of presence. This is what Nisargadatta calls the I am. Ramakrishna Maharaj calls the selfless self. this subtle, subtle, subtle sense of presence. Just I, just I. The entire world is appearing on that presence. That presence you're identifying as within the body only because of the fact that the body is available. But think for a moment, as Maharaj says, the presence leaves the body. The body is just a lump of goo. The lump of goo is all it is right now, but because there's a presence and there's an identification with I am, this body seems alive. But that same presence, literally, if you could just think, it's formless. It's a formless presence. This just I, this sense of presence, this I am, selfless self, consciousness, whatever you want to call it. Move it outside the body just for a moment. Just say, okay, like understand yourself as this formlessness that's inside this body. And now we're moving outside of this body. Now you're the formlessness looking at this body, which is just a lump of goo. The only thing is, though, you have no eyes. There's no way to experience this body-based illusion because you're no longer with form to be able to see form. So you're here always, whether inside the body or outside the body. And then you start to understand, well, if presence is formless, then inside and outside don't make sense. The body is actually inside presence, you could say. It is just an object that appears within the formlessness, and you're able to see this object and sort of differentiate other objects due to the fact that this form is available. Oh, so that I am that. I am not this body. I'm the formless presence within the body. And if we baby step backwards, we can say, because I am in a body, I believe that this presence is God, Brahman, Paramatman, Master. So I worship it in this way. I bow down. This presence is God, Paramatman, Brahman, Master. But now, by continue worshiping this and saying, okay, all my actions are dedicated to this. Everything I do is dedicated to this. Every thought I have is coming from this. This entire world is because of this. However, the more you remain with this sense of presence, then you know I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain body. So presence is all there is. That means you are that. And again, then we say, now you just remain with the sense of presence, because understanding that the entire world is projected on that. And the only reason that you even notice presence or know or have a knowingness at all is because of this body form. There's a sense of existence. I exist. This is wrongly identified with I exist as this little child. And we talked about last week, mom and dad created the concept of having a you. They said, oh, look, we had a baby. It's a boy. Let's name him Keith. And then this presence within this body form, not knowing anything, is now told, you are Keith. You are our son. But the concept of being a son came from the parents believing that they are having a son, when in reality, the formless presence, the two bodies got together and created another body. But it's the same formless presence. Presence in mom, presence in dad, the same. Presence in the space, the same. Presence in the little lump of goo called Keith now, the same. But mom and dad, being your kind of first guru, teaching you about yourself and the world, say, oh, Keith, you ate all your string peas. Good job, Keith. Keith gets the sense, I ate the peas. You see, because you're identified with a form, and mom and dad, you recognize as different from your own self. Prior to this recognition of mom and dad being different, you didn't even know that anything was. You had no identification of your own self. This is why you're reading Nisargadatta Maharaj. He says the I am is dormant. Because the sense of existence is there, but there's no identification as something other. It's just existence. The otherness comes about when you start to know yourself as not in a real sense, as something other. Oh, there's a me and there's a you, but me and you are the same. This is why, again, we can cut straight to the understanding in dream. You're laying down sleeping, formlessly, a form world is projected, and you're an object within this form world, experiencing form, even though you absolutely know upon awakening that you are formless. And you did not jump into another sphere or another realm. This formlessness created a dream world, populated it instantaneously, spontaneously, as Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, spontaneously populated the world. And you have a little dream body in which to see and experience the world, which is absolutely illusion, of course, because when you wake up, you know, this world that you created was not true. So now when you identify yourself in a real sense, this sense of presence, you know that this world that you're experiencing, this body-based illusion, which creates the concept of experience, experiencer, and experiencing, is not true. You're formless. And nothing you can do will change that. Even all the conceptualizing and misbelief, you're still formless. We have another new person. Hello, hello, welcome. It just says user on your picture, so I don't know who you might be. I could put your name on there if you want, so we don't call you user.
This is Renee.
Renee? Okay.
This is Renee. Renee. Uh-huh. R-E-N-E-E.
R-E-N-E-E. There you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And see, yet the body is not a problem. I'm sitting here, I'm drinking this delicious peach ginger tea from Miracle Tree. This is not an advertisement or anything, but it's so delicious. And formless, you couldn't taste that deliciousness. You couldn't enjoy that. So you have this body available to experience, to enjoy. It's not a trouble. You know? Prior to seeing Maharaj, you may have carried the body around like a sack of weight. Like, oh, I dragged this body around everywhere. No, because you're formless. But you can use the body to taste this delicious tea, and peach and ginger is very delicious. It's a very nice combination, actually. So experience snow, see snow. Enjoy. I mean, truly enjoy, because you're no longer dragging this body and this story and this whole lifetime along, nor are you worried about dying, nor are you worried about anything, because you're formless and nothing is true. So you do your job, you do your duties, you take care of all your responsibilities, and you just enjoy your life. Just die. No need to attach extra stuff, like the seashells you see when they have all the barnacles and all that kind of stuff over them, and you're kind of dragging this body along with the concept of me and my parents and my life and all these terrible things happened to me and all this stuff. No. It's not.
Yeah, that's the hard part, is getting rid of some of that mind chatter that Eckhart talks about. I get a lot of in my head sometimes, and it's not, no point in it, but I still do it.
And the solution is just to remain with that sense of presence. That's why meditation is so important, because when we talk about a sense of presence, it's not a conceptual idea. It's not a something that needs to be figured out. It's beyond imagination, as Maharaj says, because you just sit and you remain with your selfless self. And this subtle sense of presence, you feel this because you're not thinking about all these things. And even if thoughts are arising, okay, let them go. Let them enjoy. Dance across and okay, whatever. I'm not paying attention to this because I'm paying attention to my own self. And there's no attributes in this self, and there's nothing that is added on to this self, just layers of illusion. But by remaining with my own selfless self, the selfless self, this just I, the I am, the consciousness, presence, unwinds everything. Like Maharaj says, the fire is burning bright, the presence, the sense of presence, the sense I am. Selfless self, just die. Covered with layers of illusion, only in the beginning. As you remain with your selfless self, and see if we talk about mind, okay, mind is an object, you're providing the power. So suck the power away from mind by keeping it on your own self. Just divert the attention. I'm no longer interested in the outward world, because of course the outward world is illusion. And I may not even believe that right now, that the outward world is illusion. Okay, that's fine. I just remain with my selfless self. Because the direct experience of my own self will prove, so to speak, beyond any reasonable doubt, that there is no way a world could be affecting me. It can't, because it's like saying the space in the room is affected. If I turn the lights on and off, if I throw something across the room, I'm damaging the space because some object is traveling through it. It's silly. The space in the room knows it's alive because of being with the body and saying, I exist, looking around and seeing a world and objects and forgetting that I'm the space. And then when this body is no longer available, returns back to being the space. But there will be no knowing of being the space, because the only thing that can be known is within the bubble of illusion, which is untrue. So the space didn't lose the experience of being a body, because that was an untrue experience. Just as in a dream. You don't hold on. I mean, sometimes maybe you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh God, I wish I could just go back to sleep and be right in that dream world again. But it's not real. It's not true. You know, if you dream that you're a successful rock star millionaire in your dream, and you wake up and look out the door, oh, where's my Bentley? Where's my entourage? Because you left it in the dream. But you're not crying about this because it wasn't true. And this is why Ashtavakra Gita was saying, this is not true, this is not true. When he said, am I a king dreaming I'm a beggar, or a beggar dreaming I'm a king? This is not true, and that is not true, because you're formless. Both are appearances within the consciousness. Just as in a dream, both are appearances. You separate them and say, I'm awake and I'm asleep, and this is a dream, and this is a waking world. But that's only because of a wrong perception of being a body in a world. When you know yourself in a real sense, formlessly, then waking, and these states are just states. Waking, dreaming, and this sense of presence are all states that come and go, and they're not permanent. The one to whom these states appear, who has to be, of course, there prior in order for the appearance of something, you have to be there for something to appear. This is true. These states are not. And each state brings with it something different. The sense of existence, sense of presence, brought about a world. The sense of existence in the dream brought about a dream world. The waking state, the dream state, appeared within the presence, the I am state, so to speak. But all of those are states. And within deep sleep, you sense, oh, there's existence. Boom, spontaneously, a dream world is created. I mean, think about how fast you fall asleep and boom. I mean, suddenly you're in a park with people, sun, grass, everything feels real. It's not until you wake up that you realize, oh, that wasn't true. And when you know yourself in a real sense, that's the waking up of, you know what? All of this appeared really, really true. It really did. For a long time, I was convinced that I was going to die. For a long time, I convinced that this mind that was, see, the mind came along with the body. So the mind can only project thoughts and images and ideas about the world in which the body is in. But when you know you're not a body, then the mind is kind of done. Like, what's it going to project now? Nothing. Because I am not body. So a thought comes, this terrible thing is going to happen. Even wars and all this kind of stuff. Okay, these terrible things are going to happen. But to whom? And if this body is damaged, okay, go to the doctor. Take care of your body. Don't quit your job tomorrow and say you're a sannyasin or whatever and you need to sit and meditate for the next 500 years. Do your job, do your duties, but take everything so lightly because you know I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. Just I am that. What can be said about that? Prior to words, words came along with the body. Don't need words there.
it does seem seems when I am like resting in selfless self that there is no thoughts there. Exactly. It is like existence without thoughts.
Yes. You just rest there. The more you rest, remain with your selfless self, then even as these things are coming and going, all these scenes, different things, even you're doing your job, just die, just die. I without anything. No need to add something. I don't have to be John to do my job. You know what I mean? I don't have to create this sense of, this is John. This is how John would do his job. No, it's spontaneous action in the moment.
Would you say you have to think, though, when you're doing your, you do have to think?
It's natural, though. It's spontaneous. And it's not a psychological thinking or trying to construct some kind of a something that's thinking. No thinker is needed. Thoughts are flowing in consciousness, you could say.
There's no concern with the obstacles to what you're doing. You just, if there is an obstacle, it's just a, more of what's going on. It's not anything different than what's going on, I guess.
I will say most times if I'm at work and I start to have a serious issue or something, the very nice thing is to just pause and really kind of just remain with myself and then continue. The last thing, see, prior to knowing Maharaj and prior to knowing your own self, you might have thought about the problem or worse, thought about the fact that, oh my God, I can't do my job. You know, oh God, this job is so difficult. You've been doing this job for like 20 years or whatever, but suddenly now it's become like, I just can't do this job. This problem is just too much. Or worse, you say like, oh, the customer is going to find out and I could get fired. Why? No, remain with yourself or self and then go back and do what needs to be done. Because you're not a doer. When you create the sense of doership, it's with this egoistic I that doesn't exist that wants to somehow involve itself where it doesn't belong. Siddharameshwara Maharaj talks about the sneaky Gomesh guy or whatever, where he had to stamp his name on everything. And they did this just like forever until someone finally said, why are we putting this symbol on? And they found out that it was just this little rascal guy all those years ago who just wanted to put his name in. And nobody even said anything about it. It was just a natural thing. Yeah, Goji Gomesh or whatever it was. And that's how we've been doing. Before meeting Maharaj, we've been letting this imposter take credit for all these things. And also saying, when this is not going my way, it's this person's fault and that person's fault and that person's fault. And still feeding that thought machine. But now that we've met Maharaj, no, 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 formless. And now it's for me to experience directly that sense of presence, that selfless self, that just I, that I am. And like Nisargadatta Maharaj said, when Siddharameshwara Maharaj told him about this, every waking moment, he was with the I am. Not thinking about it, not contemplating about it, not saying I am, I am, I am, I am, but investigating and remaining. And this reveals all the secrets. The main secret being, this is my... this sense of presence, all the books say I am this. Now I can read the books knowing that I'm the sense of presence. And as Maharaj says, oh, it's my story. This sense of presence, that's what That's who I am. That's what all these books are pointing. That's what all these books are writing about. It's my story. Not some story of God, Brahman, Paramatman, Master, Krishna, Buddha, Christ. No, it's my story. Oh, so that I am that. The recognition and the projection. Because the only way you can recognize yourself is within the projection, because you are all there is. So with this concept of duality, the body-based illusion of experience, oh, so that I am that. The recognition and the projection. Direct recognition, direct experience, and then it can't be refuted. Like Maharaj says, you know yourself in a real sense, that's it, game over. Somebody could say, oh no, you don't know the selfless self, you have to do this or that, or Brahman is something separate from you. Okay, okay, that's nice, that's very good. I'll just remain with my selfless self, of which everything is. Somebody says, oh, but you can't know yourself as self until you rise your kundalini. Oh, wait a minute, I am not body. How does that kundalini rise if I'm not a body? So that's a body-based concept that came along with the body, and I'm not body. Huh. Past life, future life. Well, wait a minute, I'm formless. I'm never born and I can't die. The body that I seem to be holding in this moment, that I am experiencing myself as something other, which is an illusion, but just to know and have the recognition and the projection, it's going to cease because it's made of the five elements. And I watch as the five elements, if I put a plant out here, plant eventually dies. I put any kind of anything, you know, even your car slowly deteriorates. Everything of the five elements will have a deterioration. So this body I'm using is like a loner, just to know myself. If I use it to gather things in the illusion, I gather up my bag of illusory toys. And I spend my entire life gathering illusory toys, thinking that I've accomplished something. And then, like they talk about on your deathbed, oh, what happens to all my things? But you're formless. Body's a rental. Long dream. I am somebody else. You wake up, know yourself in a real sense, and that's it.
So my mind always wants to come up with something that it knows knows is real, or what reality is. If you could say anything that reality is, what would you say it is?
Prior to mind. The mind's never going to tell you what reality is. It's going to be like Ramana Maharshi says, the thief that you hire to catch the thief. You say, oh, mind, show me what's prior to you. Okay, let me give you this nice demonstration. As a matter of fact, Keith, I think we need to go to this guru over here because he has the answers. Mind came along with the body. You're not body. Prior to beingness, there was no mind. Mind can only give you things, tell you things, so to speak, project images, project ideas based on the form-based illusion, the body-based illusion. Because mind wasn't there prior to beingness. Prior to body, mind, ego, intellect did not exist. They weren't yet concepts born within the formlessness that you are. Because without the concept of having a body, you had no mind, ego, intellect. So the concept of having a body then created the concept of a thinker, because now that you have a body, you believe that thoughts are in here. And so you believe that there's a thinker in here, thinking the thoughts that are in here. Prior to beingness, there was none of this. After leaving the body, there's none of this. And that's the reality.